You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Good Monday morning. I have a special treat for you this Monday. I have on the show with me Sterling Jaquith. Sterling is a Catholic convert. She's a wife and a mom. She shares her conversion story and her overcoming spiritual dryness and striving for sainthood over on her website, Sterling Jaquith. Jaquith.com. And she's going to talk with us this morning. Oh, you can tell it's a Monday morning. Allison's brain and mouth have not yet coordinated. She's going to talk with us today about her new book, Catholic Mom Challenge, Striving for Sainthood in Everyday Mom Life. Welcome to the show, Sterling Jaquith.
Thank you so much, Allison. I'm excited to be here. I love your show.
Oh, thank you. I love your name. That is one of the greatest names ever. I have to ask, where does Sterling come from? There has to be a story behind a name that special.
Yeah, you know, my parents, they are both gemologists. So they study gems in school.
Oh, cool.
They can do things like grade diamonds for you, tell you what grade your diamond is. And they both made jewelry for a long time. So they thought I was a boy. It's actually an English male name. But then I popped out and I was a girl, but they had kind of pinned their hearts on it. So they kept it anyway.
Well, that's fantastic. I love that name. So glad to get the background to it. I've never met people who are gemologists. That's pretty cool.
I know.
That's neat. So Sterling, you are a busy, busy woman, wife, mom, podcaster, blogger, author. First, let's start. I'd love to know how you became Catholic. I'm always very interested in conversion stories. Would you share a little bit of yours with us?
Absolutely. I feel like it's a long story, so I'll try to do the 2-minute version. It kind of came in two phases.
I can just tell you right now, we have an hour to chat together.
Okay.
So your time.
All right. So I grew up not religious really at all. And that included high school and college, which is a dangerous time to not be religious. And I look back and I see that God's hand was covering me in a lot of ways because I could have made some really bad decisions, but I was just surrounded by good people, even though they didn't believe in Jesus. So I felt very protected. But then it was after college that I found myself searching, as post-college graduates do. And I had previously thought that I wouldn't get married or have kids. I really enjoyed working. I had a finance degree. I was working in corporate treasury and I was enjoying that. And I thought, this is the life for me. But, you know, of course it isn't. When you don't have Jesus, there's a big hole inside of you.
Absolutely.
And you can't deny that. And so I thought, all right, well, maybe I do want to get married. That's what I thought the hole was. And so my parents, were divorced. They divorced when I was 5. And so I knew I didn't want that. I wanted a marriage that was going to last forever. And I thought, you know, statistically, Christian marriages stick it out a lot better. And so for very self-centered, shallow reasons, I chose to start going to church, a Protestant church. And I thought, you know, I don't have to buy into all of it. I just want to go to meet a guy who doesn't believe in divorce.
I don't think that's self-centered at all. I think that's pretty wise. I'm like thinking that's really good thinking. I wish more people thought that way. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Right. That's not self-centered.
I would just love to say that I had this great Jesus moment though, and that I fell in love with Jesus. That's why. But I just kind of wanted to meet a nice guy, and they seem to be congregated in churches more than in bars. Right. So that's how I became Protestant. I got in with a pretty conservative church, a lot like a Calvary Chapel, where they really lean on Bible studies and theology. So I say that because the hop from my particular brand of Protestantism to Catholicism wasn't that big, actually.
Interesting.
Because they were so really just involved in their faith and serious and conservative. And so I ended up actually falling in love with Jesus at my Protestant church for real. And I love so much of what Protestants are and how they love each other and their community. And so I decided I wanted to meet a man who believed in all of that. And I'm very grateful that my pastor, who ended up being kind of like a father and a mentor to me, taught me that I wanted to find a man who would be the spiritual leader of my household. And I'm so thankful that he not only showed me what that looked like in his own marriage, but told me to hold out for that. Mm-hmm. So I actually met my husband on eHarmony, and I was very surprised when they matched me with a Catholic, because you answer a significant amount of questions. So I thought it should be obvious that I could not be with someone who was Catholic. But that's for funny. Some reason, they matched me anyway. And he was the first person that I had been matched with that actually said the word Jesus in his profile.
Wow.
And so I had been matched with a lot of, I'm going to do air quotes here, Christian men that said, you know, yeah, I really like Christian music. And I said, that's not really the same thing as walking with Jesus. But here, my future husband said Jesus. And I thought, all right, well, I like that. So we started chatting. And to make a long dating story short, despite the many times I told him it was not going to work out, I could never marry someone who was Catholic. we kept spending time together. And
funny.
And so I had prayed a lot about it. And I really felt that God was giving me peace about marrying him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just said, you know, God, if this is who you want me to marry and you want me to follow the spiritual leadership of my husband, then you must be asking me to be Catholic.
Yep, that seems like a reasonable line of thought.
And the other thing is, I, you know, when you raise children, often, not always, but when you raise them in split religious households, even just, you know, Protestantism and Catholicism, they don't tend to choose sides. They tend to choose nothing.
Oh, interesting.
And so I kind of had this moment where I thought, you know, I would rather my kids love Catholic Jesus than no Jesus. So I converted before we got married. So we were married in the Catholic Church. And I told my husband, I said, I'm all in on this, even though I don't like it and I don't really believe it deep in my heart yet.
And oh, that's so honest. I love that. I wish more people were honest about, because I think I'm sure you're going to explain this, but I bet your honesty with that feeling is really what helped you continue to learn and fall in love with the Catholic Church.
Absolutely. And you know, at first, so I agreed to do it. We became Catholic. You know, we got married, and I showed up at my church shortly after that, in the summertime. And I don't know if anybody has ever converted and then gone to their church in the summertime, but most Catholic churches stop doing everything.
Yes, they do. It's crazy. You
know, here I was extremely involved in my Protestant church. I was volunteering a lot and getting a lot out of it. And I walked into the office and they said, oh, come back in September. We're not really doing anything right now. So that was kind of my first disappointing brush with Catholicism. And then once things did get going, you know, I didn't realize it at the time, but looking back, it was a very, I want to say, liberal and lukewarm Catholic church. And so I met a lot of really nice people who weren't really doing the Catholic things that my husband told me we had to do. And so he said, you know, we go to Mass every Sunday, no matter what. And we go to confession and we go to adoration and we practice natural family planning, all these things. And I struggled to find a lot of people who were actually doing that. And it was very confusing to me.
Interesting.
You know, because he had handed me, I'm going to say, like, the rule book. And I thought, oh, that's very clear. This is how we do it. And then come to find out, Not very many people do. So that was frustrating. And I think I spent 2 years really mad at God that he took me from my warm and fuzzy coffee drinking, music playing Protestant church and kind of plugged me into this place where I didn't have a place and it wasn't very warm. And
that must have been really difficult.
Yeah, it was. And, And yet, you know, I believe strongly in marriage, so I kept doing it. And it was actually a Matthew Kelly book that landed in my lap, as it often does for people. And he was the first person to kind of call out some of those things about Catholicism, where people say that they're Catholic, but they're not really doing a lot of the Catholic things.
Was that his Rediscovering Catholicism book?
You know, I think it was Four Signs of a Dynamic Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And I quickly read Rediscovering Catholicism, which I really enjoyed. And but in Four Signs of a Dynamic Catholic, he says, you know, these are the attributes of people that are really engaged. And I realized that a lot of people are just disengaged. Yes. And so at that point, years in, I started reading a ton. And I basically found Catholicism in books.
Well, we have a lot in common because I also found Catholicism in books, but I came at it as a revert, born a cradle Catholic, and then just was invited to Bible study. And we're going to go to commercial in just a few minutes, but when we come back, maybe you can talk a little bit about how you fell in love with Jesus. We can talk about scripts, spiritual reading, but I'd love to know about if you spent time in the scriptures, because I found that's where I built a relationship with Christ, was when I started to read the scriptures. Like, I started to hear his words. Mm-hmm. I started to see more into who God was through the stories of the gospels. And of course, like, that's historic. Like, we're learning about Christ and what he did and who he said, and he became so real, it was easier to fall in love. We're talking this morning with Sterling Jakewith. When we come back, we'll pick right up with this wonderful conversation. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We're talking this morning with Sterling Jakewith, sterlingjakewith.com. Her book, Catholic Mom Challenge, Striving for Sainthood in Everyday Mom Life. We're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. We're talking about her conversion. And when you were speaking about how you had this relationship with Christ, and I just, you know, ended the last segment with talking about how for me, it was through something I had never done before, which was read the scriptures. I didn't even realize, quite honestly, that they were part of our mass. I had no idea that those things that we read were the scriptures. I don't know what I thought they were, but I thought they were letters. I didn't realize that those letters came from the Bible and from St. Paul and St. James and John. And in reading those and encountering those, because they're like the living dynamic word of God, I really fell in love with Christ. What is, did the scriptures have anything to do with your conversion at all?
Absolutely. And, you know, when I converted from nothing really to Protestantism, that is what changed my heart. And that's the thing, you know, when you encounter Jesus, he changes you. And so when I meet people that don't like Jesus, or they're confused about it, I think, you know, they probably never encountered real Jesus, because it's really easy to encounter commercial Jesus without encountering real Jesus. But my favorite book in the Bible is the book of James. I tend to go there often, although since becoming Catholic, the book of Sirach is really kind of vying for that first place in my heart. But of course I didn't have that before. So,
What is it about James that you were drawn to?
You know, I think James is so applicable to the modern day struggles that we have. And he just calls us out. And I think it's so beautiful and interesting that the things that people needed to be called out on way back then are the same
Yeah. One of my favorite is when he talks about how the tongue can start a forest fire. Basically, like what we say, we think it's just this little spark and it's not making a big difference. It's not going to hurt anybody, but yet, you know, we can take down a forest. And then he says that same tongue that praises the Lord also curses our friends. That's the Allison Abridged version of that. Yeah.
No, it's true. And this particular group that I was in, we did a lot of Bible studies, and we always were working on scripture memorization. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we would be tasked with a verse every week, and we would say 100 times a day. Wow. To memorize it. And, but what a great tool. And it does two things. First, every moment that you're spending thinking about that verse is a moment you're not engaging in negative self-talk.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
Or, you know, thinking about things that you want or that you don't have, or letting the devil whisper lies, you know, in your ear. And so it kind of protects you and puts some padding in there. But the other thing is it then gives you tools so that later when you're struggling, you have all of these words from Jesus to grab onto. Thanks. And to soothe you, you know?
That makes so much sense. You know, like I think those things, but I've never put them, never really put word to why I feel so drawn to memorizing scripture. I think about, you know, Jesus on the cross, and he's drawing from the Psalms, and he's drawing from the scriptures of the things that he knew. And I thought, you know, we don't always have time or a way to grab out our phone and look up a scripture. Right. Or, you know, find our Bible. Those things have to be etched on our hearts so mm-hmm. that we can reach for them in the time of need. Or, and I love how you say, like, just to block and put up that wall between those things that we say to ourselves, and that the devil tries to trick us into thinking about ourselves, and mm-hmm. to keep positive, or at least keep connected to God to help us work through those anxious times or those trials. That is amazing, Sterling. That's talking this morning with Sterling Jakewith, and looking at her conversion story. And you're also a blogger. Can you tell us about what you blog and what brought you to that world of blogging?
So, like I mentioned, it took me about 2 years from being a pouty, grumpy, I don't want to be here, teenager Catholic, really, to kind of finding the fire and loving it, and loving all the Catholic things, especially the things that, you know, Protestants don't have, like the sacraments and the saints, so many beautiful treasures. And as I discovered these things, I was so excited, and I want to talk about them with everybody. And I realized that there were a lot of Catholics, either cradle Catholics or maybe converts that were really poorly catechized or had maybe mm-hmm. kind of a crummy RCIA experience. And they did not know about all of this treasure. Or if they did, they had kind of forgotten about it and kind of hidden it under their beds, right?
Yeah.
And I just thought, at first I thought God would call me to speak about Catholicism to Protestants, and that I would try to bring people from Protestantism over to Catholicism. But as I looked around, I realized there were so many Catholics that didn't see what was right in front of them, or didn't have that beautiful, deep relationship with Jesus in their Bibles, that I thought, you know, we got to fix that first before we can cross the fence and bring people over.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. So is that what your blog, Sterling Jakewith, Allison, JAQUITH.com, is that what you started to write about, the treasures of the Catholic Church?
Kind of. This blog is the second iteration. The very first blog I started was called Beauty in Belief, and I had pulled together 5 women, and we were all blogging about our faith in different ways. Because as a new Catholic, I felt like I wanted to hear the voices of some seasoned Catholics, or just people in different stages in their journey, moms, not moms, things like that. And so we blogged together for a couple years before I finally switched over and ended up starting my own blog, Sterling Jakewith. And it actually started, what I was doing was I was reading a lot of business self-help books. I really like business self-help books. And as I was reading them, I thought, wow, so many of these tips and tricks could help people embrace their faith.
Yes.
But there's no one making those connections. So, you know, I would read something like The Compound Effect by Darren Hardy, and he would talk about how really small changes in our behavior add up and make huge shifts in our lifestyle over time. And I thought, oh, if I could just get people to apply that to Bible reading. You don't have to sit down and read the Bible for 30 minutes every day. If you sat down and just read one little paragraph, and you did that, you know, every day for a year, all of a sudden you'd feel pulled to read two paragraphs or three paragraphs.
Yes. And, or even a sentence, even just one line of scripture. There's some days that's all I have time for or mental capacity for. Like, I just need one line.
Absolutely. And so I thought, you know, if I could take some of these things that I'm learning and put a Catholic spin on them, especially for moms, because, you know, we have children and then all of a sudden we're alone in our living rooms and we don't know what happened to us and we're not really sure how to move forward. And so what I wanted to do is to help people get kind of unparalyzed and to put Jesus at the center of what they were doing and to make sense of what striving for sainthood was like. Because Matthew Kelly says, you know, we should all be trying to be saints, and to do that is to become the best version of ourselves.
I love that sentence. I say that all the time. I think that just wraps up so beautifully what God wants for us.
Yeah. And so I felt like these business books I was reading were giving me such great tips for how to become the best version of yourself, but they kind of applied to men in suits who went to work every day, you know? And I thought, well, we just need to change them a little bit so that we could talk about them in terms of motherhood and striving for sainthood in our faith. And so that's really why I started that new site, sterlingjacob.com. And that's why I started podcasting. Coffee and Pearls is the name of my podcast. And that's what Coffee and Pearls was really about, was, you know, marriage between those two worlds.
And where can we listen to Coffee and Pearls?
It's on iTunes, so you can download it as a podcast, but I also recognize that a lot of moms can't listen to content. And so I actually type up my entire podcast as a blog post.
Wow.
I know it's crazy.
That's amazing.
And they're not always exactly the same because, you know, Allison, the Holy Spirit comes in sometimes and but you can either read it or listen to it. And I post both of those things on sterlingjacob.com. So if you know that you've got a 2-year-old and you can't put headphones in or hear anything, then you can just go read it, which I think is nice for moms.
That's amazing. And I'm sure, though, there's no content that a 2-year-old couldn't hear. So you could always play that out in the room while you're with the children.
Absolutely. And every once in a while I do, I'll talk about maybe sex and marriage, but I make it really, really clear. And I say it 3 times at the beginning, you know, this one might not be okay to play out loud in front of your kids.
And of course, some moms are working moms, so they might like that in their commute. And I know that your husband's podcast is actually for men's commutes. And what is his called?
It's called The Catholic Commute, and that's exactly what he designed it for guys who are just in the car a lot, but, you know, want to grow in their faith in that time, whether it's 10 minutes or 40 minutes, you know, using it productively.
That's a great time to turn on to any kind of places to listen. You know, obviously breadboxmedia.com, we have an app. You can take us with you. Go to breadboxmedia.com for more information or to download the Breadbox Media app. And you can also look for Coffee and Pearls. And what was your husband's?
The Catholic Commute.
Thank you. We'll be right back with more with Sterling Jakewith. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We are talking this morning with Sterling Jakewith, and Sterling is got a new book out. It's actually probably not as is it new still? It's not very new still. It's been out for a little bit.
It feels new to me still, but yeah, just September. So we haven't had our first year birthday party yet.
It is called Catholic Mom Challenge: Striving for Sainthood in Everyday Mom Life. So first of all, tell us a little bit about the idea of the book. Where did it come from?
Yeah, well, I kept reading about this idea that we were all called to sainthood, and it sounds so beautiful and romantic. But then I would wake up in the morning and my children would be hungry, and then someone would fall down and start crying. And I'd think, oh, how am I supposed to do that? And we have such a beautiful group of saints that we can look to, but so many of them, were religious. And they suffered from what I like to call convent problems. And they were very real and emotional, I'm sure. But I feel very disconnected from convent problems because, I have three little children and I'm pregnant with my fourth. And
congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. And just, the world of social media and technology and just America in 2017 is very loud. And so I think, how are we supposed to do that? How am I supposed to do that? So I thought, I want to write a book for myself when I'm struggling, because I would have these moments of clarity and it would be really clear to me what I needed to do. But then, like I said, I would get busy with my life and I would lose my grip on that plan.
It's easy to do. Yeah. Sainthood isn't an option. It's kind of, we're all called to it. And I remember first hearing that you're called to be a saint. And I thought, oh, I have to be a nun or like, there's no way I'm not called to be a saint. Those are other people who are holy. And that's not at all what sainthood is about. Sainthood is living forever in heaven and like, oh yeah, that's what I want. Right. So I am called to sainthood. So you wanted a plan. So is that how you started to create the book, is to create a plan for yourself?
Yes. So I that's exactly what I did. I thought, what would I need to hear every morning and every week and every month and every year to pull me back on track? Because I already knew I was going to live a life that was going to try to pull me away from this, mission. And I needed something to kind of pull me back and anchor me and say, nope, keep your eyes fixed on this. This is what your life is about.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that it's just some days are harder than other days, or do you find like every day is just hard to be focused on sainthood in the midst of everyone has a certain busyness, whether it's taking care of children, whether it's going to work, whether it's a mixture of both. I feel like when I get so frustrating when people say, well, you don't work because I work from home and it's ministry and my kids are not dependent upon me as much anymore, but I'm still, they're 18, 21 and 11. They're not exactly on their own, but it's so frustrating when you think I'm working so hard and I'm not being recognized, but yet I'm still trying to do this whole God thing on the side. Like, how do I balance all that, Sterling?
It is hard. And I think, so as you go through the system, first I have people make their plan. I'll talk about that a little bit later. But one of the things, the last third of the book is called What to Do When Life Happens. Yes. Because that's the problem, right? It's true. We wake up and then life happens. So it's hard to go through our plan. So I talk about not only how to set yourself up for success, but also how to recognize when you are what I like to call out of tune. I make a list of things that show me that I am out of tune with Jesus. And if any of you have played an instrument, you pull your instrument up and you play it for just a second to see, oh, is this in tune or not? And if it's not, you adjust it. And I think our faith life is the same way. And so instead of hearing notes that are sour, I look at this list and I ask women to go through the process of making this list, signs that you're out of tune. And for me, they tend to be, I'm snappy with my kids. I will watch more television you know, I tend to choose some escapist behaviors because I'm not wanting to deal with something that's happening.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
I don't eat healthy food. Like, I'll start reaching for things that are not my healthy go-to things.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I will stop taking a shower. That's a big sign for me that I'm out of tune. Like, I won't do the self-care things mm-hmm. that make me feel good. And I used to not notice a pattern in these mm-hmm. things, but one of the sections of my book is called Be a Scientist. And I really challenge women to kind of keep track of what's going on with themselves, because you're going to find that you are a creature of habit, as we mm-hmm. are.
Yep,
and we have habits that are dark and we have habits that are light and lead us to Jesus. And so if we can get better at recognizing which way we're going, it will help us to do the things that bring us back into tune.
So what is a light habit? Like, I can list the dark ones pretty darn quickly. Yes, you're talking going, uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yeah.
What would a light habit look like?
For me, adoration is a really big one. Mm. And ever since I've been Catholic, I've been blessed to be within 20 minutes of a perpetual adoration chapel. So I know that's not true for everybody. And if it's not true in your parish, I would say, get some people together, rally the forces, because that is a life-changing resource.
My church has it every day. It's not perpetual, but it's Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. And I know that before I got there, they had to kind of fight for it. And not every pastor is going to, you know, be in tune to it. There are ones, like there's one that's 30 minutes away from my house that's perpetual. And what our friends did, Sterling, is a few years ago, before I discovered we had one this close, because it's a new parish for me, it's literally 5 minutes away, but I didn't know it was even there. Mm-hmm. We would put the kids to bed on a night that our husbands were all home or somebody was there to watch the kids. Mm-hmm. And then we would get together and it was our girls' night out. And we would grab coffee or an ice cream and drive the 30 minutes together to this chapel, spend an hour there, and then come home. And it was so life-changing, but something that we originally thought, there's no way we'll have time for this. Like, this is just an impossible thing. And none of us grew up with adoration, which is, mm-hmm. you know, it is, like you said, a gift in this part of the Catholic Church that not many people know what it is or how it can be beneficial. How do you explain to people, like, why they should be looking more into this beautiful gift?
You know, a question that I often get from women, especially when I'm speaking at a conference, is they'll come up to me and say, oh, you know, my husband, he's a very lukewarm Catholic or a fallen away Catholic. How do I bring him back? And you can't bully someone into loving Jesus. You know, you just can't. And so one of the things I will encourage them, I was just having this conversation with a girl whose boyfriend was kind of Catholic, but not really. And she could feel that maybe they were on the path to getting married, but she, you know, really wanted him to be Catholic. And I said, you know, do whatever you can do to get someone into an adoration chapel, because even if they sit there for 15 minutes, you know, we have this idea that it has to be an hour, but I'll just pop in for 10, 15 minutes sometimes, especially if I've got a kid. I try not to let that keep me from going. But even if you're sitting there and you hear nothing and you think nothing and it feels like nothing, right? Because I don't want to lie to people and say, hey, it's always warm and fuzzy and rays of Jesus shoot into your heart and it's this magical thing, because sometimes it's not. Sometimes it really does just feel like nothing. But he is there and he is shining those love rays over you. And it's okay that you don't feel it, because that's going to seep into the very heart of who you are. We get confused sometimes that our soul is actually from God, right? He created us and we have these souls, and our souls yearn for things that we don't understand. And so it recharges our soul, even if we don't feel it or understand that that's what's happening. And give me a person and put them in adoration, even for 15 minutes, and over time, not that long, it's going to change them. It absolutely does.
I completely agree. I know so many vocations, priesthood, my husband's in the diaconate, and I know that that came from time he spent in adoration. I just want to quickly add too, if you do not have an adoration chapel nearby and you can't find one, you can actually go to masstimes.org to research not just mass times, but also adoration. But any church that's open, Jesus is there. And while he's not displayed in the monstrance for us to adore, he's always there for us to adore. And that has that same beautiful impact. We're talking this morning with Sterling Jakewith, talking about her new book, Catholic Mom Challenge, Striving for Sainthood in Everyday Mom Life. And you can go to Sterling Jakewith, JAQUITH.com for more information. How else can we purchase this book, Sterling? I know we still have some time with you, but how else can we purchase your book?
Yeah, it's on Amazon, and I also have a Kindle version and a paperback version. So you can get it pretty easily any way that you buy books online. Wonderful.
We have much more to talk to Sterling Jakewith about in her book, again, Catholic Mom Challenge. If you have not looked into yet being a friend of the show, a friend here of A Seeking Heart with Alison Gingras, please visit breadboxmedia.com, click on A Seeking Heart, and there you'll get more information on how you can become a friend of the show. For $10 or more a month, you become a premium member, and you get a choice of your own prayer squirrel or rosary bracelet, extra entries in my giveaway, Google Hangouts, and much more. Go check out breadboxmedia.com and become a friend of the show. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Alison Gingras here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Alison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We're joined this morning by Sterling Jakewith, and she is sharing with us her book, Catholic Mom Challenge, Striving for Sainthood in Everyday Mom Life. And you were telling us there's a plan. You help people develop a plan. Can you tell us a little bit about that plan?
Yeah. So I'm really into practical things because I have a foggy mom brain most of the time. So I need things to be very clear and written down. So what I ask women to do is to start by first examining the seven major areas of their life. So their faith, their marriage, their motherhood, their rest, which is really important. If we're not rested, it's hard to do the other things. And that's why I actually put that before finances and health. And so I asked them to take a long-term view of what they want, that kind of eulogy look. What do you want people to say about you at the end of your life? Or what do you want Jesus to say to you, you know, when you meet him? And so we start there and then we work backwards, creating kind of this vision of who we want to be. And of course, most of us are pretty far from where we want to be. And that's okay. And so then I have them write out what they want to do in the next year. And don't worry about life happening to you. We're going to address that later, but kind of what your perfect year would look like and who you would look like at the end of the year in each of these seven categories. And so that's what their annual plan looks like. And in that, I have them identify one or two habits, a daily habit that would significantly impact that area of their life. So a habit might be 15 minutes of reading your Bible every day. Maybe you've always wanted to do that, but you can never seem to get it to stick. I'm going to tell you how to create habits that stick. And so I want you to feel confident about tackling that one. Or one I really like is spending 15 minutes of quality time with each one of my kids every day. You know, I think we want to give them high quality mom time all day, but we know that's not going to happen. It's just not. But sometimes if I can talk myself into, okay, I just got to do this 10 minutes. I just have to stare in her face for 10 minutes and just listen to whatever she wants to talk about. By giving myself permission to do that and to only do that for such a short period of time, I really give myself over to that time.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
So picking one to two habits, and then I have them schedule which habit they're going to work on. And I only let them do one or two a month, because the problem, Allison, especially with things like New Year's resolutions, is we pick 20 things that we want to work on and then we don't do any of them. And so I have them pick one to two habits and schedule them throughout the 12 months, being thoughtful about what's happening in your life for each of those 12 months. You know, you don't want to probably tackle exercise in the month of December. It's not a great month to do that. You're going to be stuck inside and Christmas is crazy. And so I ask them to be thoughtful about that. And so after you go through and create your annual plan, then you decide what you're going to do each month. And there are worksheets that are free on, I have a website that's just for this book called CatholicMomChallenge.com. And all the worksheets are there for free. And even if you don't buy this book and read it, you can download the worksheets. I explain what they are in a video that goes with each one. I think you miss out on some of those tips, like I said, about how to make the habits stick and how to set yourself up for success, but you could certainly fill them out and get a lot out of it, I think, you know, just by sitting down and planning. You know, moms don't do that as much. We get kind of busy.
Yeah, we do.
So you'll go through and do that, you know, annually, monthly, and then a weekly plan. And every single one of these comes with a review sheet, because the first part about planning is important, but I think the second part of reviewing what worked and what didn't work is the piece that most of us don't do and the reason why we don't see the progress that we're hoping for.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
You know, if you're a really good scientist, one, you finish your experiment. You have to finish. And then two, you look at the data. And so I'll look back at a week or a month or a quarter and I'll say, wow, I really blew that. What happened? And, you know, sometimes it's really obvious, like, oh, we got pregnant and that was a surprise. You know, that's what happened. And but sometimes it's little things like, okay, I didn't drink as much water as I wanted. What was wrong? And for me, one time when I had that goal, I realized that the weather had been really cold and nobody wants to drink cold water while it's cold outside. And so I had to repurpose that goal and I started making herbal tea. And I suddenly found that I could drink 10 cups of herbal tea that was warm and delicious and get my water quota in, but it just took kind of thinking about, hey, why was that not working for me?
Oh, that's brilliant. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, so once you go through and do all of that, this is my favorite part. I have them create what I call a Catholic mom manifesto. And, you know, a manifesto is a declaration to the world of something you're going to do. I think sometimes people have kind of a negative view about that because of communist manifestos, but really it's mostly about saying, here's who I am and who I want to be and what I'm doing. And so I have them create this little booklet and I have a template on my website. All they have to do is download it and fill in their own words.
Nice.
And you print it on a regular printer. And I even show you how it's three steps to just cut it one time and staple it together. It's so easy. And I keep this little booklet, my Catholic Mom Manifesto, with me all the time in my purse.
Interesting.
And it has not only the things that I'm working on, but it's filled with scripture, quotes from the saints. And then the other pieces, like we mentioned earlier, signs that I'm out of tune and things that I need to do to get back in tune. So if I'm having a bad day, I can pull that out. One, I can read some, you know, beautiful quotes from St. Therese or even Matthew Kelly or just straight from the Bible. And that helps, first of all, just make me calm and kind of anchor me back to my faith. And then, you know, I can read some of the simple things to do. A priest once told me we encounter God in music and in nature. And so those are the two things that I try to lean on the fastest. I either put on some really great praise and worship music and just dance around.
I love that. I call that praise size, by the way.
Yeah.
Made up a little word.
There you go. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just do that for 10 minutes or just go outside. Even with little kids, we think, oh, going outside has to be a huge production, but I'll just go outside and walk up and down the front of my house for 5 minutes in that fresh air. And just being outside helps me realize, oh, you know, God created me and God created this world and it's going to be okay. We're going to be okay.
Fresh air goes a long way. I actually walk, I try to walk almost daily, but I walk around my yard. My road's too dangerous to walk on, and I like to be near the house. But when my daughter's home, she plays in the fenced in area, so I know she's nice and safe, and I just walk around the backyard, and you know, and then I sit with her, like, oh, fresh air and God's creation, and it's good for both of us to get outside. I love that advice.
Yeah. So once you create your Catholic Mom Manifesto, then really you're just going through the same five steps over and over again, whether you're making your weekly plan, your monthly plan, or your annual plan. And the first thing I ask women to do is to get in tune with God, either in prayer. I really like to do my annual and quarterly planning in an adoration chapel, actually, because it just provides a great atmosphere for connecting with God and asking him what he wants you to do.
Mm-hmm. I do some of my best writing and thinking inside that adoration chapel. Amen. Yep. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. And then I have them review stewardship and mission statements. And we don't have time to get into those, but those are the statements that you created in the very beginning, which is, you know, who you want to be, who you think God is calling you to be, and just reminding yourself of that. Because again, we forget. I mean, by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I forget that I want to be a good mom and a good Catholic and a good wife, you know?
And I like that the book isn't, it's obviously a readable book, but it's not a book that I have to go from cover to cover to get something out of. I can pick and tell us how we use the book.
Yeah. And you know, I'm one of those people that's so guilty about not reading prologues or introductions, and I jump straight to the worksheet place. So I wrote it so that you could do that. I will say, if you have not read the prologue, and read the story about throwing up all over my husband's apartment on our fourth date, then you should definitely do that. But my feelings won't be hurt if you don't, because I like to just jump in and do it. So
we have a lot in common. I never read the intros until it was time for me to write one. And I thought, oh, this is hard because I don't know what they sound like or look like. Right. Sterling Jaquith has been my guest today. We've been talking about her book, Catholic Mom Challenge. You can find out more about this book and the worksheets and her podcast and all the wonderful things that Sterling is doing over on her website, sterlingjaquith.com. That's J-A-Q-U-I-T-H. Sterling, it has been such a pleasure spending this morning with you.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it. And I always love hearing, you know, whoever's talking to me, their story too, about how they love Jesus and read the Bible. That's wonderful. We need more Bible reading Catholics, Allison.
I agree. And hopefully, you know, together as we share our love for that, we will encourage other people to read it as well. And you give people such great encouragement in your book, Catholic Mom Challenge, just 5 minutes a day, one line a day, and you'll build that habit. So thank you again, Sterling Jaquith, for all that you're doing.
Thank you so much.
What a blessing today has been. Again, we've been talking with Sterling Jaquith. Check out her book, Catholic Mom Challenge, Striving for Sainthood in Everyday Mom Life, over on her website. You can also pick it up on Amazon. Like she said, it's print and it is in Kindle form. It's wonderful how we have all these different ways to connect in the world.
It's
been wonderful, and I am encouraged by it, and I know you will be too. You've been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.